from tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, April the 1st, 2010. Philip Morris is the speaker of this service teaching on the double soul man.
Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here. I've been here a couple of other times as participant, just sitting in the chair and receiving to the camp meeting here. And I am here because I wrote a book. I received my doctorate in philosophy and theology a couple of years back, and I made my doctoral dissertation into a book. I went ahead and published it into a book called Multiple Personality Disorder, Psychological or Demonic. And a few months back, I just felt impressed to send Glenn one of my books. And so I sent him a book, and I didn't put a letter in or anything. I just sent him the book. And if it was God that was impressing me, well, I figured I'd hear about it. If it wasn't, I figured, well, Glenn got a free book, And then a few weeks later, he called me back all excited about the fact that he'd read the book and he wanted me to come up and speak. And so Tom had made a statement that we didn't read a book. And I think that if you read a book and get in deliverance because you read a book, you really don't know what you're doing, you know. At least you didn't know what you was doing when you first got in. You might now, but you know, I just kind of explained to you how I got into the deliverance ministry, and that was almost 28 years ago. It was back in 1982, and I had got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in December of 81, and in May of 82, I quit Bible college where I was at because they said that what I was doing was of the devil anyway, and so, you know, I might as well quit, you know. And so I stayed home and read my Bible and prayed in tongues and read my Bible and prayed in tongues and worked a second shift job like I had been doing. And I went back home to Indiana and went to a camp meeting where the year before, a camp meeting of the church where I had came out of, the denomination I came out of, because it was all my good friends and everything back there. And so I went back. The year before, I'd led a 15-year-old girl to the Lord at the altar. And this year, when I went back, we were there about 2 days, and a kid came to me and said, your wife wants to talk to you in the youth tent. And they had a big tent for the camp meeting and then a smaller tent for the youth. And every day, the youth always had their meeting in about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And some reason they did it in the big tent that day. Well, I'm in there, and I went in the tent. My wife's in there talking to this little 16-year-old girl, and she's a real little skinny thing. And my 3-year-old son was there. And she says, he keeps telling me to take more. And I go, I'm looking around. I'm the only he in there talking, and I ain't saying that. And I'm wondering what's going on. Now, you got to understand, the denomination I came out of, they never talked about the Holy Spirit very often. They definitely didn't talk about unclean spirits, you know. And I'd only had to baptize the Holy Ghost about 6 months now, or about 8 months, and 7 months, somewhere around there, you know, 7, 8 months. And so, you know, I'm down there, and she says, he keeps telling me to take more. And I'm looking around, and this girl, I said, are you on drugs? You know what I mean? Real spiritual guy, you know. Duh, are you on drugs, you know? And she said, well, I took some this morning, but he keeps telling me to take more. And I'm going, who is this that she's hearing? Because I ain't seeing nobody, you know. And about that time, all around her eyes, it turned black. The whites of her eyes turned red. You could feel the inside of her muscles just going, just like that. She must have been 120, 130 degrees, man. She's just burning up. And I'm looking at her, and, I don't know what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, her hand goes to her throat, like this, and this man's voice comes out, "Kill her, kill her, kill her." And I'm going, and so I grabbed her by the arm, and I grabbed her around this way, and my wife grabbed the hold of her. And this, like I said, she's a little bit skinny thing. She's on drugs, and she's 16 years old. And they had them old funeral home chairs, them ones that clack when they shut, like that, I think we knocked down every chair in that tent. I'm hanging on to her like this, and she's throwing me around, and we're bumping chairs and knocking chairs down, and I'm going, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And I said, later on, I don't know if I was praying for her or me. I don't know. But all of a sudden, she fell, and she just, boom, she hit the ground. I couldn't even catch her. I had a hold of her, I couldn't catch her. Just, boom. Her eyes rolled back in her head, and she quit breathing. And I go, "Oh, my God. These people think speaking in tongues are the devil. They're going to hang me in a tree out here. I done killed one of them." I said, "Oh, my God." And the scripture went through my mind, and when he cast the demon out of the boy, he looked like a corpse. And I said, "I think that's what we got here." And all I'm thinking is corpse. The demon thing I didn't even catch that. I'm just thinking corpse, I said, "Oh, no." And about that time, her eyes, she come back, she goes, And I go, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." So I got her up, and she told me, she said, and she had this little locket around her neck, and she yanked it off. And she said, "Now I know why I could never take that off." "Why?" And she says, when she was about 2 years old, her mother had given her that little locket. Within the year after giving her the locket, her mother tried to kill her. CPS took her away. She went through foster home after foster home, being physically abused, sexually abused, all kinds of abuse going on in this girl's life. And that was the tie to that death. And, of course, I didn't know. She gave it to me. I'm going, "I don't want that thing, And so they had those outhouses out there at the camp meeting, So I went out there in the outhouse and threw it down there. I said, "Devil, you want this? You're going to have to go through some stuff to get it." And so I just... So anyway, I still didn't know what I'd done. I came back to Houston. I was going to a church at the time. I was the adult Sunday school teacher, and I was good friends with the secretary of the church. And I was telling her what happened. She said, "Oh, you was doing deliverance." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "What's that?" She said, "Casting demons. You cast a demon out of that girl." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "I'll tell you what, I got a book for you to read." I said, I don't read books. I just got out of Bible college, and what they was teaching me in them books. I said, "I read the Bible and I pray in tongues. That's all I do." She said, no, this was written by my father-in-law. And I said, "Okay, Libby." I said, "If it was it's your father-in-law, and I trust you, so I'll read the book." Well, it was just a little unknown guy by the name of Frank Hammond, and Pigs in the Parlor was the book that she wanted me to read, and that was her father-in-law. And so that was my introduction to Frank Hammond. And so I didn't trust the book. I read the Bible, and if it wasn't in the Bible, I didn't trust it, And so that was when my relationship with Frank Hammond began, and I had conferences at my church, and he was there for, I have 7 years in a row. He was there 6 years. The only reason he won one year was because Ida Mae was in the hospital and he stayed home that time. But Frank and I ministered in several different other countries and stuff. But anyway, that was my introduction to deliverance. I was thrust into it, had absolutely no idea what I was doing, and by that time you're already in. You have the door shut behind you. You can't get out then, can you? So then it just seemed that God started bringing people into our path, and more, and it just began to develop more and more. But what I did take, there was a span in my life that, for about 2.5 years, I refused to do deliverance. I got mad at God because I was doing deliverance. It was in the mid-80s. And I was doing deliverance, and I'd see people, and for about 6 months, they'd be great. And then they're back the same way they were. And I said, no, God. I said, no, I ain't going to do it no more. It's too much hard work to get them to that point. And then for it last for 6 months, I said, no, that ain't good. I ain't going to do it. Forget it. And so for 2.5 years, I pastored a church in total rebellion to God. I didn't have deliverance in my church because we was going to be a balanced church, you know. We weren't going to have none of that extreme stuff, you know. Well, it's kind of hard to be balanced without deliverance, you know. And so 2.5 years later, in the middle of a revival, God closed the church. Middle of revival, God told me, Sunday morning's your last service. I said, okay. So I preached, the creek is dried up, the brook is dried up, locked the door and went home. Told everybody where there's some good churches in the area, and I said, God closed this church, we're done. You know, I'm gone. I went back to school, finished my 4-year degree, went ahead and got my master's degree, and then went ahead and got my doctorate. And so I got kind of chuckling, you know, I got a doctorate in casting out demons. And so doesn't do very much good anywhere else other than here. Amen. Praise God. But I want to tell you, I want to teach you tonight about a double-souled man. And a very, very interesting thing that God has showed us. And once again, God does things in a way that He wants to get the glory. You know? And so the first revelation I ever had about double-souled man was with a baby that could not talk to me. Say, 18-month-old baby. And so I couldn't ask him questions. Oh, what's happening? What's going on in your life? Well, you know, how long has it been like this? You know, and all this. 18-month-old baby doesn't talk to you. And what happened was I had a deliverance team at another church. I was on staff, and me and my two leaders was having a meeting one night, and a lady called and said, we're having a lot of problems with our 18-year-old daughter. Can you come and help? I said, well, what's happening? She said, the baby's been screaming for 2 days. Screaming and won't be quiet and wouldn't sleep last night. And we got jobs and we're trying, you know, we can't sleep and the house is, oh, you know. And I said, we'll be right over. So the three of us went over. And we went to their house and we went through and we started doing some, spiritual house cleaning just to check and make sure they're wasn't stuff in the house that was causing this problem. And these people knew about spiritual warfare and there was a few little things, you know. We gathered them together and you know how you do a spiritual house cleaning, the way I do it at least. I find things that I feel like are drawing spirits into the house and I'll put them in the middle of the floor. Then I'll say, okay, if this was my house and these were my things, I'd get rid of them. I don't throw anything away for anybody. You know, I don't do it. They got to throw it away themselves. It's theirs. I don't want to come back at me later on. Okay, so I told them that. They got rid of those things. So we began to work with this little kid, 18 months old, little girl. And me and another adult man was trying to hold this little baby on the couch. All we was trying to do was control this thing. You know, the baby was all over the place and just screaming and everything else. It was wearing us both out. And I said, wait a minute. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, and I said, God, and you got to understand, here's a big spiritual man. He's the head of the deliverance team in the church and everything. And I have no idea what's happening, you know. I mean, and so I just sat down in the rocking chair. I said, God, that's it. I ain't doing no more with this kid. I said, you know, I've done bound up everything I know, cast out everything I know. I cast out everything, even including the kitchen sink. I don't know, man. I mean, I've done it all. You know, I didn't know what else to do. I sat in the rocking chair. I said, I'm going to sit here and pray in tongues until you tell me something to do, God. Otherwise, we're done. Because I don't know anything else. And I did. I sat in that chair, rocked back and forth in that rocking chair, and prayed in tongues, you know, and just going along. And it was probably 5 minutes later or so, the mother says, oh, by the way, I love those by the ways, you know, said, by the way, this little girl, she said, our daughter was adopted. We adopted her when she was 3 years old, and I know the name that the agency gave her when she was born. If you think that would make a difference. I said, I don't know, but we'll try it. You know, I mean, beg your pardon? She was 3 months old. Oh, yeah, she was adopted at 3 months. She was in the agency for 3 months. She was born in the month of April. Fancy that. Here it is, April 1st. And so they named her April. Gave her that name, April. Whenever she was adopted at 3 months, they changed her name. Gave her another name. And so I said, okay. So I said, in the name of Jesus. Now, by this time, Dad had the baby. And the baby was just all over him. He was trying to contain it. And it was like she was using Dad as a jungle gym, you know, all over him. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And this had been going on for 2 days. I said, I bind that spirit, that illegal soul of April. I bind that spirit right now, and in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of her and leave her in Jesus' name. And that baby goes, and went sound asleep. Two big yawns, boom, out like a light. Just like that. And we're all going. You know, it was amazing what happened. And so, it was interesting because they had two other kids that was asleep, you know, they was already in bed. And they told us later on, and I got this in my book, but they told us later on, when the kids got up the next morning, they said, man, the house smells different. See, because I also bound up that spirit of death. See, because she was a premature baby. So that spirit of death had tried to take her and was trying to take her again. But here, I said, what was this? What had happened? And so, I'm back in my office, and it just came to me. Read James 1:7. Okay? And so, in the New King James, it says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, if we read that in the Amplified, it says, for being as he is a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, or decides.
Hear that.
Amen? So, I said, oh, wow, a double-minded man. And so I began to look at it, and I looked this up, in the Greek, and the word for double-minded is dipsukos. Dipsukos, we in America say dipsukos, okay, because it's from two words, dis, D-I-S, meaning two, you know, die, and then sukos from our suke, our soul man, okay? So actually it means twice sold, S-O-U-L-E-D, twice sold, okay? And so, when I look at that, and I said, this here is saying that a man has two souls, he's unstable in all he does. Well, we have a soul. See, we all know, you being in deliverance, you understand a three-part man, spirit, soul, and body. You know, and that our spirit is born again. Our spirit is our spirit man. That's our inner court. That's our holy of holies. Our spirit man is our holy of holies. But our soul man, up here, our mind, will, and emotions, that's our soul man. And that's where the problem lies, okay? That's representing our inner court, in according to the temple of the Old Testament, the inner court, the holy of holies, inner court, and the outer court. And, of course, our flesh being the outer court. Well, in our suke, right here in our soul man, that's where the problem is. And if we have two souls, they're battling. And it makes it unstable. And so I began to look at this. And that what was happening with April was the fact that April was just a tag that was put on this kid. Okay? Not by a legal parent, a legal guardian, but just by the agency, where she was at for 3 months. And they tagged her with April, which allowed a spirit. Now, you got to understand, I call it an illegal soul. It's illegal. What are demons? Demons are illegal, aren't they? Amen? We declare, when we bind them, the word bind, deo, means to declare illegal, unlawful. Okay? And so, whenever we look at that spirit, we call it a soul. But I want you to understand, it's a spirit. It's a soul. It's two-souled. And it's here comes, this thing was April. And her real name was Emily. Okay? And that the mother and father who adopted her, her legal parents, named her Emily. Okay, so therefore, April was illegal. And so what I did was, I went against that. Whenever I get, you know, don't get confused between I say spirit and soul. The reason for it is this. Your brain is not your psuche. Your brain is part of your soma, your body. Okay? It's a fleshly organ. Your soul is an abstract. That's your intelligence. That's your, you know, that's an abstract thing. Your mind, will, and emotions. Okay? Your will is an abstract thing. It's not a physical thing. And so therefore, whenever we talk about this being an illegal soul, a two-souled, double-souled man, it is talking about in the spiritual abstract realm. Okay? It's soulish. It's a demonic thing. But it's not a flesh thing. So therefore, spirit or soul, don't get confused with those two terms whenever I call it an illegal soul. It's a two-souled, twice-souled person. And so, it was really interesting because, you know, we didn't know what we had done that night. We just knew that the girl got set free. And then God showed us afterwards what it was. And I always say that, you know, I think God does that with us sometimes because that keeps our finite mind out of the way and trying to figure things out. You know, I mean, you know, he gets all the glory. I mean, because whenever we've had tremendous things out, I don't know what we're doing. You know, I just go along and then God lets me catch up later on, you know. Amen? You know, and so, but this is really interesting, see, because that's a part of our psuche, twice souled. And I've everything in my book back there are actual case histories of cases I've had. And one is a really interesting guy. When he came to me and I found out his story, he would not submit to this at all. Not at all. His story was that all his life, he was known as Walt. Okay? All his life, known as Walt. In fact, when he was 17 years old, he went to get his driver's license. And the guy asked him, the DPS guy said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Walt." And he said, and he had given him his birth certificate already. And the guy looked at the birth certificate and said, "Your name's not Walt. Walt's not on this birth certificate. Who are you?" All right? And he said, "This birth certificate says you're Howard." And so, at 17 years old, he found out that he's been going by a name that's not his. Now, when I ministered to him, he was in his 40s. Okay? Still going by Walt. The story behind Howard and Walt was this. He was the fifth son. When Mom got pregnant, she said, "I am not having another boy. I will not have another boy. I won't have him. I just won't do it." They were so afraid of him when he was born, they didn't tell her what she had. This was years ago, you know. They probably put her out and they took the baby. The baby had the baby and she didn't know. They had to leave the hospital. They had to give the baby a name before they left the hospital, right? His aunt named him Howard. They didn't tell Mom. She got home, hadn't seen the baby yet. She got home and they said, "Where?" And she says, "Where's the baby? I want to see my baby." They brought her Howard, a boy. Right away, she didn't like that. And then she said, "Well, what'd you name him?" "We named him Howard." "I ain't having no Howard. There ain't no way. I don't have no Howard. We're going to call him Walt. And so he went by Walt. That's all he knew all his life, and it was done out of fear and rebellion. That's where he got that name. You know, fear he got because they was afraid to show him to her, you know, and then rejection and all that, you know how it happens with babies and everything. And so here I told him about this, and he would not do it. No, I hate the name of Howard. I hate Howard. It's okay. It's your life, you know. And so, you know, I don't press people. I don't make them do things. You can't. You know, you can't make it. It's not going to stick if you do. And so I just let him. And he'd come to my meetings. I have deliverance meetings, and he'd come to them, you know. And it was really interesting because you could see him. He'd went through the Charles and Francis healing schools, you know, and Charles and Francis Hunter, their healing schools, and they could heal, and you know, and when he was, in one way, the Spirit was really moving, he'd work in prophecy, and man, it was really neat, and then, boy, boom, he'd switch over here, and he was contrary, and ornery, and just, he owned his own business, sometimes he'd stay in bed till noon, he didn't even go to work, you know, just, I mean, it was night and day. And so one night I go over to his house, and I was over there at his house, and Howard and I was having a great conversation, and all of a sudden he switched on me, and Walt started. I mean, you could see it, you could hear it, see it, and you knew when Walt was there. And I said, I just looked at him. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind that illegal soul, Walt. I refuse to talk to you. I'll only talk to Howard now. Shut up in the name of Jesus. And he goes. It seemed like about 5 minutes. I just sat there and looked at him. I was just waiting. You know, either we're done or I'm going to talk. If somebody, if Howard starts talking, I'll talk again. And a little bit later he started talking. It was Howard. Next day I was over there. We was good friends. I lived down the street, went to the same church together and everything else. And I'd been ministering to him and his wife for a long time. So I was down there and he said, why did you choke me last night? I said, man, I didn't touch you. I did not touch you. I said, and I told him what I'd done. I bound Walt and wouldn't let Walt talk. And he said, well, something grabbed a hold of me by the throat and I could not talk. And that's how powerful the name of Jesus is. Amen? That just showed him. And after that, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready now. And whenever we prayed for him, you talked about spending time on the floor. It was in the middle of summer in Houston, Texas, and we was at church that night at a service. And I prayed for him. He went down. I went against that Walt. I commanded Walt to leave. He went down, and we had to find every modesty cloth and everything else we could find because nobody was wearing a coat in the middle of summer, you know. But he was on the floor just like you, just shaking and shivering and everything for about 45 minutes. And he got set free. Now I want you to understand something on this. One of the problems he had was that his family continued to call him Walt. And it took a while because what they're doing, when they do that, they're calling that other thing back in. Say, they're calling it back, you know. And so it took a while and they finally did it. Well, now Howard is pastoring a church in Houston, Texas. Amen. And so, praise God. And so, it's interesting because I love them. We've been on vacations with them and everything else. And I ordained him whenever we hadn't seen him for several years, you know. And the Lord started dealing with him about starting a church and everything. And he said, "Well, who am I supposed to go up under and everything else?" And the Lord told him to go see Philip. And so they came back to me, and he was talking a while ago about. You see people and they go away, and you know. So anyway, he come back, but whenever you're dealing with it, what we have to look at is sometimes people will change their own name. See, I look at the fact that if you know God is smart enough to name us. You know, in the Old Testament, there were some name changes. He changed Abram to Abraham. See, from father to father of nations, see. Sarai to Sarah, princess. You know, Eve, mother of all living. You know, there was names. There was changes. He changed Israel to Jacob. Israel the deceiver, or the other way around. Jacob the deceiver. Jacob the deceiver to Israel. See? And so, when God changes a name, there's a reason for it. Most of the time, the reason we change our name is out of rebellion or a dislike of the person maybe that named us. You know, and so what I've had a lot of people that's come to me. Now, my first book I wrote, Spiritual Connections to Personality Disorders, which was my master's thesis, I went by Fillmore's, you know. And I'll tell you why I went by Fillmore's. God told me since then to go back to Philip. That's why I go by Philip Morris, okay? It's not just so you have a name recognition for a bunch of cigarettes, you know. But, you know, those of you who are old enough, you know. But anyway, the reason I went by Phil, before I was a Christian, I owned a construction company, an asphalt company, and I was an alcoholic, and I had an answering service. And so I'd get in from being out all night long, you know, and be drunk, and I'd call in, and I'd say, "This is Philip Morris. And I couldn't say Philip with a thick tongue. I was so drunk, you know, so I changed it to Phil. You know, so it was easier. I just, "It's Phil Morris," you know. And so the reason to go to Phil was out of a drunken state. I mean, you know, there wasn't anything God about any of that, you know. And so God said, "Go back to Philip." And so, you know, He set me free from alcoholism, so I guess I go by what He called me, right? And so, but that's, yeah, you know, we have to look at the fact that God has a reason for the reason we're called what we are. And a lot of people who change their name out of rebellion, well, why would we want to be called by something that was originated in rebellion? You know, I've had people come to me and they'll say, "Well, I don't like my first name, so I go by my second name." You know, well, that's a given name, you know, and a lot of times that's not a problem. But I'll say, why are you going by the middle name? Say, you got to go beyond that. Say, why are you doing it? "Because my mother's name is the same as my first name and I don't like her." Well, whoa, hello, there could be a problem here, you know. You know, you got some rebellion and unforgiveness and all that stuff working in calling by going by the middle name. So it's, the name's not the problem. But it's a spiritual problem there that when she gets set free of that, then she'll probably go by the first name anyway. Because all of a sudden, Mom won't be that monster that she was before. You know, whenever she gets rid of the unforgiveness and all that stuff. So you got to see the spiritual things that are behind some of this name changing. And so, I brought some notes and stuff and, you know, it's hard to go by notes because it kind of binds you down. But I'll look here and, wait just a second. Oh, there are some notes there, yeah. Thought I had blank pages there for a while, you know. Okay. I'll tell you about another one. And this wasn't really that type of thing, but a lady came to one of our group services one night, and she sat back in the back over there, and during the service, you know, during services we have people coughing and, you know, yawning and sneezing, you know, the thing. And you know, some of them got their head in the bucket, you know, and stuff. But anyway, she sat back there and the only thing she did was, I thought, man, them demons are going to break her neck, you know. The whole time, that old pride thing, you know, was about going on. Everything else, sat through the whole service. That's all she did. And this woman was probably close to 300 pounds. At the end, so I have been accused of not having a deliverance ministry, but having an inner healing ministry, because I believe in the fact that if you cast demons out, that's the easy part. You know, because hey, it ain't us doing anything anyway. It's the Holy Ghost doing it all the time. I mean, it's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. It's not us. We're just vessels that He's using. But if you don't do something to heal the hurts that allowed the demons to get in the first place, then it's like, you know, they got an open sore and you haven't done anything except clean out the demon. You know, you got the dirt out of it and you just left it wide open for reinfestation. See, and so I do that. And I minister as the Father. And I've had some exciting stories in prisons and drug houses and stuff, ministering as the Father. Oh, it's been awesome, you know. But I ministered that night as the Father. And this woman in the back there, who hadn't done anything but stretch her neck all night, screamed out and fell on the floor and began to sob as a baby and got set free. Now, she told me in my first book, and I'm going to reprint it. I'm out of print. It's out of print now. I've got to reprint it. I've got her letter from her psychiatrist where she was going, the University of Texas Mental Sciences Center, where he wrote her a clean bill of health. After she had been under his service, and I said, "You keep going. You keep going." He tried for 6 months. He tried everything he could to trigger her. He tried everything he could because she was a borderline personality. That's what she had been diagnosed, borderline personality. Now, she told me that one time she woke up and she found in her closet bloody clothes and a bloody knife and didn't know how it got there from the night before. And so we were dealing with something that was taking over, you know. She got set free. He tried his best for 6 months to trigger her, and he couldn't do it. He finally wrote her a clean bill of health. And she became our church secretary for the next 9 years. You know? And so, and that was, but, you know, it was things like, and also, without changing anything she did, she lost 100 pounds the next year. You know? And so, and it was all because you got rid of all that illegal stuff, got her to where she could accept herself and love herself and become a productive part of society, you know. And so the importance of a name, it's so important. Of course, whenever I do this stuff and write books and stuff, you have to do research and stuff and everything. And so there's a Christian psychiatrist named James Friesen that... He wrote a book called Uncovering the Mystery of MPD. And he believes that, he doesn't believe the way I do. And I'm going to teach Saturday morning, I'm going to teach on MPD. I'm going to teach on that Saturday morning. He believes that it's a part, those other personalities, those alter personalities are a part of the person, but each one may have demons, and they may be hiding behind a demon. I'll tell you some stories about that. But anyway, he was the closest that I liked him. I talked to him and I liked him. I seen him in a conference one time, but I still didn't agree with everything. But he said the DSM-3R definition. The DSM is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, third edition revised. And of course, now they've got, I think, a fifth edition. You know, that's a psychiatrist's Bible. Because they have to go in there, and that's where they get their diagnoses out of for their mental diseases. And if they don't get the right one, the insurance company doesn't pay them. So that's their Bible. Okay. And so anyway, but it talks about, it says that the definition says nothing about amnesia, but it's widely accepted that some people who are obviously multiple show no clear-cut signs of amnesia. And granted, amnesia episodes are an almost certain indicator of multiplicity, but when those episodes are not present, MPD still can be detected by a more subtle sign, which is switching. Okay? And so, I am sure every one of you in this room have been talking to someone when they've switched. You know, and sometimes it's a very subtle switch. Sometimes it's, you know, it's a Howard and a Walt thing. You know, you can tell right away. You know? But it's like, you know, it's like you're talking to someone and they're just one way and then it ain't just boom, all of a sudden, what, they're just... They've turned on you all of a sudden. They're just different. They switched, see? And something else has come in there and taken over. And so I'm talking about double soul tonight. Because a double soul is not a multiple personality. A multiple personality, we have some really exciting things with that. But a double-minded man is just someone who has another one, and there's another personality, another illegal soul is what I call it. And that, well, kind of like that. Yeah, very, very much so like that. You know, and of course I know Frank's Ida May's definition. Well, she got the revelation she got on schizophrenia. It's in Pigs in the Parlor. And like I said in my first book, in fact, that revelation is in my first book. And I talked to Frank. He said I could do it. Really. But I don't disagree with what they've got, but this is kind of a different angle at it, you know. And so it's whenever you, but they'll switch in and out. They switch in and out. And sometimes it's so subtle, you don't really know it. I know you know some people who you just, why are they like that, you know? Yeah, you know, because last week they were just as sweet as could be, you know? And now they're just, duh, boy, what's going on here, you know? And it's real confusing. And I work with one lady, I'm working with a lady that's multiple she said, well, my husband just thinks I'm crazy, you know. You know, I mean, that's all they know. See, I've seen a book back there, one of Wayne Worley's books, I want to look at it. It said, is it mental illness or demons? You know, I mean, I already know the answer, but I mean, thought I might read the book too, you know. But here's the thing. Let me tell you about a girl from Texas. She came in. This is interesting because there's relativity to this. I'm not just a bunch of war stories, there's relativity. This lady came in to us, and she was going by one name. And, well, she came just for deliverance, okay? And I put her through deliverance, and in my questionnaire, I've got one says, did you have any imaginary playmates when you was growing up? Another question is, have you ever went by any other names other than your given name on your birth certificate? And she said, yeah. And she told me. Well, we'll put her through deliverance. And then I told her after deliverance, I said, okay, you go back to the hotel, because she was from out of town. You go back to the hotel tonight and you pray and you ask God which name you're supposed to go by. Because I think you ought to go by the one you was given at birth. But hey, you want to go by this one? I don't live with you. Go ahead. You know, it's not me. You know, I mean, that's, you know. And so she came back to me the next morning and she said, God has told me to go by my given name. I said, okay, praise God. Let's do it. So we did it, got rid of the other name. She went back to her home in another town in Texas, and her apartment was totally decorated in Southwestern motif. It's a whole lot of the turquoise Indian stuff, where you all know there's a whole lot of witchcraft and everything else involved with that. Well, she went in there, and she was so excited about this and everything, she took everything out and totally cleansed it and redecorated and got rid of it all. And what happened was utter chaos. She was not ready for all of that. In Exodus 23, the 29th verse, talking about when they drove the nations out of the promised land before the Israelites, God said, I will not drive them out from before you in one year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field too numerous for you. Little by little I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. Another translation says, until you become strong enough to possess the land. See, she wasn't strong enough yet to possess her land. And she went back and it was too much of a shock. And I told her not to do that. Because she called me in the middle of it. You know, she was so excited and everything. I said, I don't think y'all do that. You know, she went ahead and did it. Well, this scripture, Exodus 23:29, correlates with the Jesus teaching in Matthew 12:43. When an evil spirit goes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest, and finding none, it goes through back to the house that it left, and finding that house swept clean, put in order, and unoccupied or empty, see? Then he says, I'll go back in there, and he takes seven more wicked than himself. And the latter condition is worse than the former condition. So this woman, I don't know. She never did contact me again. She never did come around. I just couldn't contact her again. I couldn't get a hold of her and everything else. But that was one I just kind of do that to caution you that, you know, teach people. If you're going to deal with this, teach people. If you're going to deal with it, you find someone that you know that they've changed their name and they've got an unstable. See, there's some people that, I don't understand why I don't ever receive anything from the Lord. Well, you're unstable in everything you do. You'll never receive anything from the Lord. You know, that's what the Scripture says. The Bible is true. Amen? No matter whether you like it or not, the Bible is true. And whenever, if you, that's why I tell people that deliverance is a process. We just can't come in and in one time, and I come in and whenever I have someone on one-on-one with me, the first session is about 2 hours long. You know, when I went through deliverance, it took them 6 hours to get me straight. I had a lot of problems in there, you know. I tell people, you got to come back. It's a process. And we're going to get some of it. We're going to get some major things here. But then, after a process of time, there's going to be other things come up, you know. And so, we need to get you in this process to get you stronger and stronger. We have a ministry at our church called Restore to More. And it's a residential treatment center where we bring people in that have, you know, addiction problems or a lot of psychological problems, and they're there for a period of time, you know. I don't do deliverance with them every day, but they're in the Word of God every day, and they're listening to, you know, I put them on Joyce Meyer's Wilderness Mentality videos and let her beat them up, you know. Because she can beat them up good, boy. But we put them in there and we put them through a whole lot of stuff. Why? It's to get them strong enough to carry this on, you know, to be able to walk on without getting in worse shape. You know, I mean, that the devil tried that with Jesus. He tempted him and he couldn't win, and so he left him for a more opportune time. Is looking for the opportune time. Always. Amen? So, I have people ask me. I had one lady come in to me. She had been, I think she'd been adopted. No, she'd been in foster home and foster home, and she had taken some of the names of the foster parents. Plus, she'd been married three times and had those last names and all this. And this girl was a mess. Bless her heart, you know. She came to me and she said all this. I put her through deliverance. And I said, okay. I said, well, usually last names are not a problem because, you know, that's the marriage cycle and all that. And I said, but we'll just deal with it. We'll just take care of it. And so we went against all the names of the foster parents, the foster families, and the married names, you know. And boy, she was set free. I mean, it was glorious, you know. And about 20 minutes later, I got a phone call. She said, where am I? I got lost going home. She couldn't find her way home. So I had to pray with her and tell her where she was. I said, well, where are you at? You know, look at her street sign. Tell me where you are, you know. So I got her home. That's the only time it's ever happened. You know, so it's not a normal thing. And she never had any more problems after that, you know. But it was such a shock to her. So a lot of times we have situations like that. I have a lot of fun in deliverance, you know. Another thing, let me talk to you about. I got a couple of quotes from Frank Hammond that he said he had a man in their church who was delivered out of homosexuality. He said the name on his birth certificate is Johnny, spelled J-O-H-N-N-I-E, the feminine form of the name. And then he said they obviously wanted a girl instead of a boy, right, when he was born. So they feminized his name. And as he was going through the process of deliverance, one of the things that the Lord required him to do was go back and officially have his name changed on his birth certificate to Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, the masculine form of the name. So sometimes that'll do that. And I've had people say, well, but you don't understand. Everything I've got is in this name. My driver's license and this and this and this, except for that one little thing over here called birth certificate. You know, that's in that other name, you know. And so I'll tell them, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 7, 25 and 26, it says, you shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. And that's what I use in doing a spiritual house cleaning, because a lot of times there's some valuable things there. And I said, God tells us not to covet the gold and the silver. Doesn't matter how much it's worth. Is it worth you going through what you're going through? Is it worth you being demonized over? See, that's the thing. And there's no value there. You can't value that stuff. I've went in houses, and I've got thrown out of some houses because they had just totally demonic stuff that I told them that they needed to get rid of, and they said, I'm not getting rid of that, and they threw me out. And I said, okay, it's your house. You live here. I don't live here, you know. And so, but I'll tell people, and I'll say, well, it's not worth the problems you're having in your life. Yeah, you got to go through a lot of red tape and everything, you know, to get all these things straightened out. And you may have things engraved on the wall and stuff, you know. I said, but it ain't worth it holding on to that stuff. You need to get rid of that illegal soul and every tie to it. Amen? And so so I tell them that. Another thing that people ask me about is nicknames, you know. And I said, well, you know, some people have a nickname, you know, the Rebel or Tiger or something. Of course, nowadays, if you've got a nickname like Tiger, maybe we all get rid of the lust, you know what I mean? You know, that's probably what we need there, you know. But he hadn't done that yet whenever I wrote this book. And so I tell people, you know, if you got a name like that, there's characteristics that go with that name. See? And so, and if they call you Rebel, and you're acting out and rebellious, well, duh. You think we might have a connection here? You know? And so I tell people, yeah, you know, if it's a nickname like that, then you all do it. I saw a cartoon one time. It's right around. You know how God shows you things whenever you're working through something? You ever seen the cartoon Ernst? You know, Ernst, he's about 400 pounds, you know? Candidate for Biggest Loser, you know. He's a huge, big old guy, you know, cartoon Ernst. And him and another guy that's about as big as him sitting on his park bench and they're reading. He says, hey, it says here that nicknames could have an effect on your life. What do you think about that, Lardo? You know? So, yeah. I thought, boy, that was right on target with what God was showing me, you know. And so nicknames will give us a problem like that. A lot of times, you know, when my youngest son had his firstborn son and he started taking him to daycare, the daycare workers started calling him Bubba. I don't know, y'all, I'm from Texas. Well, I'm originally from Indiana, but I told him, uh-uh. We're not having any grandson of mine named Bubba. Okay? Bubba is not, you know, an icon name for a real intellectual person, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? No offense if you're named Bubba, okay? But I said, well, you having no Bubba in my house, You know? And so, nicknames will have that effect. A lot of people are called Junior. You know, I had an uncle. That's all we ever called him, Junior. Well, that's because that's what his name was, Junior. If that's your name, no problem. If you are a junior, okay, your name, Junior. I didn't call my son Junior. I wouldn't call him that. He's got first name as me and middle name as my dad, but I wouldn't call him a junior. If that's your suffix to your name, okay, you're Philip Morse Junior, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, except if you go through life all the time and they call you Junior all the time, and the first one may have, been successful and everything else, that Junior tag could make you feel inferior, okay, and not measuring up to it. And so therefore, I'll tell them, you need to break off all those spirits of inadequacy and all those things that's come on you because of that Junior name. You understand that? Because they go around, they feel inferior, they feel like they can't measure up and everything else to something else. And so it's a curse, basically, being spoken over them every time. You understand what I mean? Okay? And so, another quote from Frank Hammond, he told me, he said that they always had known the lady that they received the revelation, schizophrenia revelation, that Ida May received. They always knew her as Jean, which is her middle name. But as she was getting her deliverance, she had to go back to her original name, which was Marietta, which she had rebelled against. See? And so that rebellion and name change was probably part of the reason for that schizophrenia. And so, whenever we have different names like that, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And whenever we have all them different names and all that stuff, that can cause a lot of confusion. And switching in and out like that, that causes a lot of confusion. And so, what I like to do, and I don't know if it's all right or not, but I like to, if anybody has any questions, can I ask? Can we do that? Okay? Does anybody have any questions about this? Because I'm a teacher, and teachers like to make sure you get it.
Could that keep you as a child?
Sure. Yeah.
In other words, you're an adult body, but you're still got a child mentality?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because what's doing is, it's another book he's got back here about stunted growth. Basically, why would they say it? People haven't seen you in 30 years. Well, 30 years ago, you was a kid. You was a kid named Butchie. So they, hey, Butchie, how you doing? And so, hey, I'm no longer a kid, and I'm no longer Butchie. I'm George. Hello. And so you sometimes you just have to tell people, it's not the me. Sometimes it could be a thing with the meaning. I mean, it was whenever God changed Abram to Abraham, and stuff like that. But it's the why did they change the name? That's the real reason. That's the real thing. And was it done out of rebellion? I just don't like that name, and so I'm going to go by this name. And sometimes, today most kids run the family. Sad to say, but most kids run the families, and so whatever the kid says, that's what the parents do, and so was it started out of some rebellion like that, and so, yeah. Did I answer you okay there, George?
Yeah.
Okay. But what I was going to say was, you bind that illegal soul, you bind that nickname, and you command it to leave, and you command every spirit that came with it to go.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, but what is our motto in deliverance? At least my motto is, if in doubt, cast it out.
Yeah.
That's the way I believe in it. So if in doubt, cast it out. Yes, Sherry. Where is it that we know of that we see all the time in the news and everything else of people who have changed their names and are going by different names? Hollywood. Yeah. What did he say? Oh, pedophiles. Yeah, right. No, they changed for a different reason. Yeah, but. Yeah, we got more things to cast out than just that name. Anyway, in Hollywood, they always change their name, and then next week they change their mate, and then next month they change their mate again, you talk about unstable. Hollywood's the most unstable place there is, Why? Because... Yes, sir. Roach? Yeah.
Everybody calls them Roach.
I hope this isn't going where I think it's going.
I got married, my wife.
Ah. Absolutely. 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 Just fulfilling that vow, that judgment and vow. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So you know what to do now. Go back and do it. Even if they don't go by the name anymore, go ahead and do the deliverance. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just met her last night, and she seems real sweet to me.
Yeah.
Huh? That, and that's a term of endearment. Yeah. And that, there's nothing rebellious about that. That's just a term of endearment.
So,
yeah. Yeah. She, you gave it to her? Oh, okay. And so, well, she's still sticking to you. Yeah. Like I said, sometimes you won't have a problem. It's more the cause behind why you did it. See, that's it. Yeah. Did someone else have their hand up over here?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I was Winston
Thomas. Mm-hmm. Doubting Thomas, yeah.
But I'm not a doubting Thomas.
Well, you know, well, it's like me too. You know, I mean, Philip said, you know, well, show us the Father. He said, well, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I said, boy, if everybody had asked that question, why was it Philip? You know, you know, so yeah. But no, Tom or Thomas, that's, once again, I don't see a problem with that nickname as long as it wasn't done out of rebellion.
Right.
See? And you didn't say, see, here's where the problem would be. Your dad named Thomas, you're named Thomas, and you have unforgiveness towards your dad for something, so therefore I'm going to be called Tom. I'm not going to be a Thomas. I'm going to be Tom. See, that would be the problem. See?
Yeah, Clyde.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And you said, thank God for Thomas. Amen. Now, one of my best buddies is named Clyde.
My grandfather was named Thomas.
Yeah. So it's once again, it goes to why the motive for changing. See? Yes. Yes, Mr. George? Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's, you're going, yeah, the occult flips a lot of things backwards just for that. I mean, you know, they call good evil and evil good, bad, and you know, or evil, good evil and evil good. Yeah, that's why I said evil bad, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, and so, yeah, they do that a lot, but yeah. Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry, I didn't see. Dee Dee? So what's your name on your birth certificate? Oh, you mean last name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you're talking about last name. That, like I said, last name's not really a problem as much as the given name. Okay? But what I would do with that is, they changed your name, but they didn't legally change your name. See, what I would do is I'd come against those spirits that would be involved in the claiming of you without responsibility. See, because that's basically what they did. They claimed you by changing your name, but they didn't take the responsibility by legally changing your name. See, and so there, therefore, there's some, I would say that there's some spirits there that would be bothering you, might be some irresponsible, or there might be some things that cause you fear to take responsibility, fear to make decisions, things like that. Okay? Anyone else? I've been to places where people have taught, you know, and I get these thoughts in my head, you know, and then I don't see them again, you know, and so, yeah. Yes, George? No, I don't.
Crazy cripple, they call him crazy.
Absolutely.
You know.
If he agrees. The reason I say if he agrees, okay, we all know we don't do deliverance on anybody that's not a Christian. Okay, we only do that on Christians. But also, if he doesn't agree, your life will just be wasting your breath and your time. You may do some good, you may not. I say that not in a sense of doubt or anything, and not doubting the power of God's Word or the name of Jesus, but I have had people I've had people come to my office because their wife brought them. And so, I don't do third-party appointments. You know, if someone wants to come for deliverance, they have to call me. But what I'm saying, what I'm saying is the reason I say that is that I've had people come in and I didn't know they was there because someone else brought them to fix them. And I did deliverance on them and they was free for a short period of time. About the time they got to the car, you know, and it was all back. See, because if they're not in agreement, how can two walk together in agreement unless they be in agreement? Amos 3:3, you know. And so you have to have that agreement because otherwise it's not going to stick. That's why I say talk to him and just kind of explain some things to him and pray with him, you know. Right, that's right.
Well, he's not called that. That's a lot of things.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He was abused by animal.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to get him up here. You need to bring him over to Tom. Anyone else? Yes, sir, back in the back. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I wouldn't go changing my name. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go changing the name just because it sounds good. Okay? I've known some people who, like I said, that they've changed their name, and one lady changed her name because she didn't like, well, my wife is of Mexican descent. My wife Maribel here, and in Mexico, probably at least 50% of the girls are named Mary, okay, for obvious reasons, or Maria, and it's because of Mary, Mother of Jesus, and so a lot of them change their name because they don't like that, because everybody's named it, And that's a rebellious thing, And then some people will change their name, and they'll abbreviate their name and make a combination of two names. It's still the same thing. It's rebellious. And to change my name, I would have to have a word from God. I wouldn't do it because it sounds good. Okay? God changed names in the Old Testament, but He did it for a reason. Yes, sir. So was my dad.
Out there, I know that animals.
Yes.
Does that apply for pets?
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you this much about pets. Her question was, if you change the name of your pet, there's a problem. I don't know. I just know a buddy of mine, one of the guys that went with me to the house where the baby was, when I taught him about spiritual house cleaning, they did spiritual house cleaning. They had brand new sheets and bed covers and everything and all that. And they're about 3 o'clock in the morning taking them all out to the dumpster, so people didn't think it was crazy, throwing away brand new stuff, But they were throwing it out, and their cat, while they was doing it, the cat was just going crazy, So he laid hands on his cat and cast the demons out. And the cat calmed down. It was an old tomcat. And every day, every time they let old Tom out, Tom would go do his thing, And old Tom come back. He had to do deliverance on Tom every time he come back in the house. I don't know about that. I'd look into it and see, pray over the cat, or the animal, and see. But animals are definitely bothered by spirits. They're much, much sensitive, very sensitive. Yeah. Yes.
This has nothing to do with names, but the scripture ones apply to the scripture, all of them.
I would say that a bipolar or a schizophrenic would be closer to that scripture than a MPD. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, because bipolar is talking about two. It's the same as that die. Okay, and a schizophrenic is more, it's almost like we used to call them, what do we used to call them? Split personality, schizophrenic, it's kind of, the same thing. But the multiple, you can have a whole crowd in there,
So bipolar and schizophrenic are?
They're very close, yeah. And so, then that was the ones that closest to resemble that. Yes, sir. Absolutely, yeah. Okay, if I understand your question, are you supposed to break the soul ties with a name, even if you're not going by that name, but it is your name?
It is, I don't use it.
Yeah. I would definitely, if, like he's saying, it was from the grandfather, but there were some very nasty things. I love your accent, by the way. You know, very nasty things going on in the family. I'd definitely break soul ties with that and with the grandfather and all that. Well, I would break soul ties with the family members and with the name, and I would bind every spirit that would attach to the name because it was also the grandpa's name.
Correct.
Yeah, very well could be that. So you go against, break all soul ties with the family, the member, the person, and the name, and bind every spirit that came attached to the name from that person. You know, okay? I saw some other hands somewhere. Yes, what I do with that is when I put someone through deliverance, we renounce every false teaching of the Catholic Church, okay? Which is just about everything, but, you know. You know, and that is myself. If it was me, I would break ties with those names that was given to me by the Catholic Church, okay? And I would not use them anymore. And maybe I'm extreme, but if I was given a Bible that had those names put in there, I'd probably throw it out. Am I supposed to say that? Throw out a Bible? You know? Yeah, especially if it's a Douay version, yeah. Yes, sir. I love this girl's shirt. I got one just like it. Yeah. A Boy Stone. Okay. He wasn't, no. Yeah. He was A Boy Stone. I understand, yeah. So what you got on your driver's license? And where'd Eric come from? Is this your son, Stone? Okay. Gotta watch what I say. Back up on me. Kick my dad here. You know. So where'd Eric come from? Okay. Sounds good to me.
She asked me where I wanted to be named when I get my driver's license. So is there anything?
Well, your mom is your legal guardian or legal parent, right? I mean, was she your legal guardian at the time? And so it just took 16 years for him to name you. What'd you go by in school?
It was done very shortly.
Oh, okay. So you was named Eric 3 or 4 weeks after you was born, but they never did change your birth certificate.
I think there's 2 weeks.
Oh. Oh, I see. Okay. So, oh. Okay. So is the Eric birth certificate, is it a formal? Is it a... Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't say there's a problem there. Okay, I'm not saying you don't have problems, but I'm not saying that's what I mean.
We'll do it anyway.
We'll get rid of it. But see, once again, yeah, being on the safe side, get rid of a boy. Because why? You're not a boy, you're a man. So I get rid of it, and if the other birth certificate is a legal birth certificate, I would get rid of the a boy birth certificate. You know, that's what I'd do, yeah. Yes, ma'am. I would say that just because other people can't pronounce your name, you're still going by that name. See, so there's no rebellion there, and there's no problem except with everybody else. You don't have a problem, they do. You know, and so yeah, that's what I wouldn't, and all these things that I'm telling you, go home and pray about it, because the Holy Ghost, He can tell you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know everything. I'm just relating from my experience. You know, I had a lot of experience. Okay? Did I see someone else's hand? Well, I don't know how long these meetings usually go, but I think I probably got my allotment here. But why don't we do this tonight before we go? Okay? We know some of you have come up with some things that you know, I mean, you know, that you want to do. And so, and you may have it, and... I'll just kind of lead you to prayer if it's all right with y'all. And we'll bind these names and these illegal souls that you know of, you know, such as A-Boy, we'll get A-Boy out of here because we're going to make room for the man, Eric. Amen? Amen. See, and so we will... We'll do that. You all know, we're not going to name each one out. I'm not going to name each one out, but you can name it out. You know what it is. And then we'll come against it, and we'll come against all the spirits that came in. But first, we're going to ask God to forgive us of any rebellion, okay, that came in because of that, okay? Hallelujah. Well, Father, I just thank you so much. I praise you, Father God, and give you the glory. Because, Lord, it is you and you alone that causes changes in our lives. And so we thank you, Father. And I come to you tonight, Lord, lifting up all these people that are here. And Father, we just ask that you would move in their lives. And Father, that there would be things broken off of them tonight. That spirits would leave them tonight, Father God. And things, curses that have been spoken over them would be broken. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we give you the praise and the glory and honor right now, Father God, because we don't want it. It's not ours. It's yours. And we give it to you in advance in Jesus' name. And so I want everybody to just say, Father God, I come to you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for any rebellion on my part, for changing names. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for stubbornness and unforgiveness. And in the name of Jesus, I forgive everyone who named me the wrong name. And I forgive everyone who has called me by those names. And in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of that name. And I break every soul tie with that name. And I bind every spirit that would have come in through that name. And in the name of Jesus, I command those spirits to leave me now. Right now. Take that deep breath. Blow it out. Out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All that rebellion out in Jesus' name. We break every curse off of you in the name of Jesus that came on you from those other names. We break it off of you in the name of Jesus and command those spirits to go right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit that would limit your potential that God has for you. Every spirit that came in through a name that would direct your path in a wrong way. We bind it in the name of Jesus and command it, go right now, out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And every spirit that would hinder you from reaching the potential that God has for your life, I command it to go right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, God has a destiny for every one of us. He has a potential for you to be. And see, as a drunken Phil, I could not reach my potential. But as Philip, I have a much better chance of getting there. Amen? See, and Eric, you're a man. See, we bind every boyish spirit, every boyish attitude, every boyish characteristic, we command it out right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All the confusion and everything else, it's got to go. In Jesus' name. Every bit of it. Say, you're not a boy. Say, so go home and rip that thing up. If the other one is a legal birth certificate, you got to have a legal birth certificate. If Eric's birth certificate is legal, rip that other one up, burn it, break every tie with it, and sever it. Amen? Get up. Rise up to be that man. Amen?
This is the end of this message.
Our website is www.lifeinchrist.com.
LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.